What's up, everyone? Welcome to Peach State Prospects, your go-to podcast for all things Atlanta Braves minor league system. After a one-week hiatus, we are back at it. And joining me today is none other than Garrett Spain. And the two of us together will be telling you everything you need to know about the recently promoted Giancarlo Solara. So sit back, grab some popcorn, and get ready for another exciting episode of Peach State Prospects. A little backstory for Giancarlos. He was a 2021 international free agent signing for the Atlanta Braves that signed for just $10,000. Great, great value. Great job by the scouting department. His first year in the league was 2022. He played in the Dominican Summer League. He appeared in 10 games, starting 9 of them. Had a 182 batting average against, with a 178 ERA, already started opening some eyes at that level. In 2023, he came out and started the year with the Augusta Green Jackets, appearing in 18 games and making 13 starts. At Augusta, he had a 210 batting average against and a 4 ERA. He was then promoted to the Rome Emperors, where he appeared in just 2 games. It was towards the end of the season. He had a 4.82 ERA there over 9 innings, again, two games started. Once again, against really good competition over in high A, had a 1.56 batting average against and a 0.96 whip. Started creating a little buzz after that kind of season. He started really lighting up that radar gun. And in 2024, as you all know, we had him well within our top 20. He started the season again, 15 games, making 14 starts for the Rome Emperors, where it was a rough start to begin with. He had a 392 overall, 392 ERA with a 1.468 whip, striking out nearly 11 per nine. It's coming in at 10.5, but had a 5.2 walk per nine rate. Again, it was the walk rate. It was the problems with command that made him just a little weary, made in evaluations of him. But really, over the last 4 starts is when he started to hit his stride. Over the last 4, Giancarlos has a 1.19 ERA, a 365 OPS against, absolutely ridiculous. He's striking out nearly 14 per 9, sitting at 13.5, and he's got that walk rate all the way down to 2.8 walks per 9. Because of that, he was just promoted to AA Mississippi, where he will be making his AA debut tomorrow, August 14th. Digging into what Giancarlos does, it's that he's got just an absolutely electric arm. Sits 97 to 100, averages about 97 mile an hour with that four-seam fastball that he throws roughly 40 to 45% of that time. He's got fantastic extension on that pitch as well as the rest of his arsenal. So that 97 to 100 plays up even more. To go with that elite velocity, he also has a nearly a 15-inch vertical break along with a 7-inch horizontal break. Just an absolutely insane fastball, easily 70 on the grading scale. He combos that with an absolutely wipeout slider, averages 90 to 92 miles an hour. He throws that nearly 50% of the time. Again, great extension on that pitch. It's very interesting because it doesn't have that traditional slider, you know, movement. He comes in about 5 inches of vertical break and almost no horizontal break. He's actually able to throw that slider in a different way with a slightly different variation, and it has a lot more cutting action. With that, it's also sitting about 90 to 92 miles an hour. And then lastly, it's his third or, you know, maybe a fourth pitch if you consider that cutter slider a separate pitch. That changeup comes in once again around 89 to 91. Again, great extension. He's got traditional 12-inch vertical break and 11-inch horizontal break. Some other stats to throw at you over the last 15 days, so a couple of starts, he's got an astounding 62% ground ball percentage. Again, a lot to like about him. He's been pitching extremely well over the past couple of weeks. And again, making his double A debut for the Mississippi Braves tomorrow. Garrett, I want to hear from you. What can you tell us about Giancarlos's mechanics overall?
Larry uses a fairly simple delivery overall. It's pretty much straight downhill. And that's one of the things that he's done a little bit better throughout the year that's kind of helped his command is, before he would kind of, as he went downhill in his delivery, he would kind of lift a little bit as he was releasing the ball. His upper body would lift up and he would kind of come out of his stance going down. He's kind of smoothed that out over the past couple of months. It's simple, straight downhill. And that's helped, I think, his command play up where we've seen him really command the slider better. And he's really burying that slider down and away from right-handed batters, towards his glove side. You talk about his extension. A lot of that for him is he's very tall, right? He's a very tall pitcher. But he has a fairly high release. So unlike some of the other guys we have who have good extension, guys like Schwellenbach, and guys like Owen Murphy, it's a fairly high release point for him. And so you're not getting that, super flat angle on his fastball. It's a fairly average shape on his fastball. And a lot of that has to do with just his height, his delivery. He's very over the top of his delivery. I do think that it helps his slider, but it does somewhat play down his fastball a little bit there. But overall, I mean, it's a simple delivery. The problem is, I think it's going to be. It helps his command. He's not a guy who commands the ball very well naturally, his feel for location. He's more of a, throw his fastball down the middle, rely on the velocity type guy. But having his mechanics kind of smoothing out the little kinks in the mechanics has really helped him, especially on his slider. And I've been impressed with, just how smooth and simple his mechanics have been.
Overall, again, he throws that changeup not a lot. He sits mainly fastball slider. Do you believe in his changeup? Is it a pitch that you think can continue to progress and then potentially be a great pitch against, a left-handed hitter? Because right now, again, mainly 50-50 fastball slider, so that, you want something to be able to neutralize left-handed hitters. What do you see from his changeup? And is it something that you think could potentially, flash average?
Right now, just the change that we've seen, he didn't really throw it last year. So you have to understand, he didn't throw it last year. He came in this year. He started the year off hurt. So he's kind of at a point where the changeup, that's one of the hardest pitches to get a feel for, especially after you're hurt. For me right now, I haven't really seen a pitch that's going to be, an average, type major league offering. One of the good things you can say is, look, if you have a fastball and a slider that's that good, you really don't need a good changeup. You just need a changeup that is in the head of a hitter. I don't think it's there yet. I think it's going to depend a lot of the command, but I do think that the shape and the velocity gap is good enough at this point that you say, as long as he can command it well, it's probably good enough to have it in the back of a hitter's head to say, well, he could be throwing that changeup. And when it does come in, it could work. But for me right now, I don't see it as a pitch that's really a major league quality offering. The Braves tend to experiment with guys and their changeups, splitters, split changes, different changeups. So you'll definitely see, I think, it go through an evolution over the next year. And he's a guy that has time. There's still quite a bit of time left for him to develop. And a lot of those guys really develop that changeup at the AA level. We saw that from AJ Smith-Shawver. He developed it at AAA and in the major leagues. Spencer Schwellenbach really started developing that splitter at AA. Ian Mejia is developing a splitter at AA. So it's one of those things that not having it now isn't terrible. And he has again, a good arm action, a guy that, again, you don't need much from the changeup given how good his fastball and slider are. So, they'll experiment with that. He's a guy that has a good feel for spin too. So you could maybe look at, with some guys, AJ Smith-Shawver is an example, they'll go to that slower curveball against left-handed batters. There's a lot of options they could go to right now. I have trouble projecting him to a third pitch at this point just because we haven't really seen it. But he also hasn't really needed it just at the level he's at. Fastball slider is so good that he hasn't needed to really even go to a changeup at any point.
Yeah, I'm totally glad you went there. It is, again, he's in high A. He had been in high A, and you can get done with. He's got two really elite pitches, so being able to just focus on those two is more than enough. But then as you move up, you want potentially something. He's toyed a lot this season. He's tried out a slinker, that splitter sinker. He's got some good sinking action on it, on a potential sinker, differentiator from his four seam. And he's thrown a curveball as well. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see any of those pitches, Garrett, but I just want to get your thoughts on the other pitches that he's tried out, and have you seen anything from those?
I do like the splinker shape. I think that, again, because of the movement on his fastball, he can sometimes struggle with getting hit with that pitch, especially when it's kind of in the middle of the zone and lower, kind of getting hit hard. And so it kind of pushes him into only really throwing, fastball up, slider down. And it's kind of predictable where he's throwing those locations. Having a second shape to his fastball, I like guys who can vary their fastball. Especially if it's a pitch that he's throwing 10 to 20% of the time, even if it's not necessarily something he commands well enough, with the way he's able to move his fastballs and with as fat hard as he throws, he can still get success out of that. We saw the curveball a little bit. It kind of seems that they've gone away from that lately. So it may just have been a situation where they looked at it and said, look, the shape isn't working for you, or they're still just working on the side and felt like it was more necessary to focus on the fastball command slider. That's another thing with these guys. When you talk about pitch usage, it changes as they go up the levels. We've seen it with a lot of guys where the Braves are like, we're focusing on fastball command. We really want to make sure you're landing a slider well and then kind of let the other things come later. So that could be another situation where they're saying, we'll throw the curve on the side, we'll throw the change up on the slide, right on the side. Right now, your main focus is, can you land that slider? Can you land that fastball? That's what's going to get you major league success, and the other stuff will come when we get an opportunity to get to it. And right now, I do really think that they're focused, and that's the main focus for them is, can you command those two pitches well? And they've made a lot of progress, I think, this year.
Wholeheartedly agree with you there. He's taken massive steps, especially again since the second half of the season started. Very, very promising arm. With all that information, Garrett, what do you think his overall role in the majors is going to be? Is he going to be able to stay in a starting role with that two-pitch mix, or do we need to see something else for him to stay in that starting role? Or, is there a reliever risk there?
Right now, I personally project him as a reliever, and but you have to, I mean, I have him ranked at either 10th or 11th on my list. I can't remember exactly where. The distinction there really isn't important, but I have him ranked very highly, even project him as a reliever, because his reliever potential is so good. I mean, you're talking about a guy that, even if he's a reliever, that's a ninth inning guy, right? And the only guy we've ever really even ranked that high would be AJ Minter, and we see what type of career he's had. He's a guy that I think could be that good or even better of a reliever with that two-pitch mix. I don't know that, he's not a guy like Spencer Strider. Yes, he has a third pitch, but he's mostly a two-pitch guy. He survives because, one, you talk about that flat approach angle. His fastball plays up better than Lara's just because of the shape, and he commands that fastball well. I haven't seen that level of command or that shape from Lara to feel like it's that level of a fastball that you can rely on that as your go-to pitch in the same way as a guy like Strider does. It's obviously a very good fastball, but fastballs tend to get hit at the major league level. These guys know how to handle velocity. For the most part, if you're at the major league level, you can handle that, mid to upper 90s velocity just fine. So with Lara, I would think he would either need to significantly improve his command, which he has done a good job of so far. You have to realize this was a guy that, he's 21 or 22 right now, but he wasn't a guy that signed at 16. He was a guy that signed at 18 or 19. So he was an older signee. That makes a huge difference because he hasn't developed a lot as long as a lot of these international guys have. So there's the athleticism there to project to more command, but he would have to either command that fastball at a plus or better rate, which I have a hard time projecting for him, or at a third pitch. I think he has the athleticism at a third pitch, but we haven't seen it yet. So I think the easiest projection is to say eighth, ninth inning type arm, one that could be elite in that role. Or you look at a guy that, yes, if he adds a pitch, I could definitely see him starting. I think that's really all it would take, would be adding a pitch, but it's not necessarily as easy as it sounds to do. I could see him at a major, so I could see him as a major league starter, even a two to a number two, number three type starter. But I do think I would project him to be a late inning reliever.
I'm glad you went with Strider because that's kind of the way I was trying to frame that question. Very similar in that two-pitch mix. For me, I have him as a reliever as well. And like you said, he might be one of the best relievers in all of baseball with that two-pitch mix. Just an insane fastball, a great slider. I would love to see him develop that third pitch. You know, that is like you said, that's a great note, Garrett. If he shows something in double A that's able to work against double A hitters, I think then you're able to say, okay, maybe this guy can stay as a starter. And you're looking at, a mid to top, not top, but a mid to, mid rotation starter. That's someone with a very promising arm. And again, that's a great point of he started, started his professional career late. This is just his second full season of baseball. He pitched again just 10 games in his first year back in 2022 in the Dominican Summer League. So really glad you went there. Now I want to ask you a question and feel free to say no. You talk about the fastball shape for Strider, you talk about the fastball shape for Lara. Can you provide a little more information to those that are listening in on what you actually mean? Why does Strider have such a great fastball shape, and what are some attractive qualities about Strider's fastball that make it as unhittable as it is?
I kind of mentioned it earlier, and it's really Strider has elite extension and he's smaller, so he releases at a lower angle. And so you talk about, vertical approaching, and we've kind of talked about this. Guys that have a flatter approach, everybody throws down, right? Because the mound is so high. So a guy that has a flatter approach angle tends to get more swing and miss. Especially up in the zone, which is where you're going to throw four-seam fastballs. Guys with those flatter approach angles, pitches play up. Hayden Harris is a great example of a guy whose pitch plays up. If you want to look at a guy that, succeeds despite not really having a lot of fastball velocity, you look at a guy like Spencer Strider. He's short, he has that flatter approach angle. So in addition to throwing 100 miles per hour, in addition to having a high spin fastball, he's throwing it up in the zone with a flat angle, and it's very difficult for hitters to handle that. Lara's is more of a downhill fastball. So because of that, one, the pitch doesn't quite move as much just with the shape of the spin. It tends to move a little bit more arm side than Spencer Strider's does. Angle wise, it moves a little bit more arm side, and it just doesn't have that same amount of, it's that lower angle, so it's a little bit easier for batters to hit. That's not to say that it's easy to hit a 99 mile per hour fastball, because it's obviously not. It's just guys will make contact more often and they'll tend to be able to barrel it more because it's not moving as far away from the barrel as they expect it. When you're looking at pitchers, typically the things that succeed are things that hitters haven't seen very often, things that differ from the norm. And so Lara having a closer to average shape, hitters are used to the shape of the pitch. They're not used to the velocity, but they're used to the shape and they can adjust to the velocity. You look at a guy like Strider, they have to not only deal with a unique shape, but they have to deal with a unique velocity. So it's that much harder to deal with that pitch.
I appreciate that, Garrett. I know I kind of put you on the spot there, but a great explanation. Also want to make note that the next three games for Mississippi, they're going to be rolling out, Giancarlos Lara, then follow that up with Lucas Braun, and then finally Drew Hackenberg. That's a really strong three in that rotation, along with Darius Fines, is someone you rotation you definitely want to check out if you're over in Mississippi. Throw in Luis de Avila. That's fantastic. But back to Lara, one more question for you, Garrett. We talked about his potential role in the majors. Let's make this two prong. One, if he is a starter, when do you think he can make it to the majors?
I mean, the way the Braves move pitchers, I wouldn't be surprised if it was next year even as a starter. I mean, they plug and play guys a lot. And, in terms of, so I think more of the question is, could he get to, he'll probably get to the major leagues either next year or early in 2026. In terms of actually sticking in a rotation, I think he's going to take some time at the upper levels just because his command isn't, he's more strike thrower over command guy. It'll take a little bit of time for him to develop. I think he would have to take time to develop a third pitch where he'll probably spend, a year at double A, year at triple A type thing, where you're looking at maybe 2026, he kind of gets a longer shot. 2027, he would really get like, you're in the rotation, we trust you type guy. It could go faster. I mean, he's developed a lot faster than anybody would have expected when they signed him already. So you could look at him maybe 2026 taking over a full-time role, but full-time role 2026 into 2027 is when I was expected, but I mean, as long as he keeps succeeding, they're going to get him to the major leagues. They always need pitching. They always want to get those guys to the major leagues and see what they can do. So they've promoted guys that, we haven't thought have been ready before, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him get to the major leagues next year.
Couldn't agree more. What about if he's in that reliever role? What, how fast do you think he can make it to the majors?
Probably the same. It might actually take longer because, one, I mean, there's so much volatility with relievers. The Braves could have a below average bullpen next year for all we know. But the thing with them is the bullpen's very, very good. Most of these guys are coming back except maybe AJ Minter. You have guys like Domingo Gonzalez, Hayden Harris that are above Lara, kind of, I think Lara would take precedence over them in terms of potential, but guys that are ahead of him in on the development ladder, where Daisvell Hernandez can't even get time because Daisvell Hernandez has the options. He's a clear major league pitcher, but he's having to stay in the minor leagues because, well, he's the guy that has options, so he goes down to AAA. It may be a situation for Lara where it would actually be a bit of a curse for him because he would be stuck in AAA while they're running out the veterans that they can't option to the minor leagues. I think that would actually kind of be the situation that plays out. Of course, the Braves have been somewhat lucky with injuries in their bullpen this year. A guy's probably gets a shot. Again, he gets a shot next year in the bullpen if they move him to the bullpen, but I think it might take a minute before they're like, okay, now you're getting a full-time job, right? Like they probably would test him out 2024, maybe even 2025, and then 2026 look and say, okay, now we're kind of ready. Okay, some of these guys are out of here. We have spots. Now we're going to get you in and try to get you into those late inning roles. It's kind of a weird situation with the roster rules where it might actually play against him.
Great way to put it. And I definitely agree with you there. I could see him, in that role next year, end of next year, like you said. There's no real reason to rush him. Like we talked about, still very new to the professional ranks. He just got started in 2022. Last year was his first full season. There's absolutely no reason to rush him along despite the success he's had. That's a wrap for today's episode of Peach State Prospects. We hope you enjoyed our breakdown of the talented Giancarlo Lara. As always, if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast network. Follow us on social media for updates and more Braves-related content. Until next time, keep cheering on the Braves and stay tuned for more Peach State Prospects.